Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and a fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't shit.
Motherfuckers.
Breaking news, Corey and Cheeto was moved to March 25th, which made me think that we haven't really talked about that fight, and this obviously in your weight class, so it's, I think you have probably one of the best opinions that anyone could get on YouTube about this. So for that fight, both these guys, I feel like, are talked about as in line next for a title shot. Maybe not Corey as much, just because you beat him so bad and you're still the champion. But like a lot of people think Cheeto, if he beats Corey, he could be a champion. Do you think
he could be a champion, or he could?
Or
fight
I'm
him,
sorry, if, yeah, he could.
Let's get that right here.
He could be. No. He could be a contender.
Cheetos.
In my personal opinion, I feel like Cheeto, his last couple wins have been very like impressive highlight wins, but also. The asterisk next to them is that he was facing older guys with weathered down chins, and he got away with a lot because of that.
That weren't as durable, but...
What do you think?
All right, so I'm going to give you guys the real. Like, yeah, I know Cheeto and I kind of go back and forth a little bit. He talks a lot of shit on me for whatever reason. He seems to be my number one supporter and number one hater at the same time. Cheeto's a very tough dude. He's a savage. He goes for the kill. He's tough. He's durable. We've seen that. Like, he takes a good amount of punishment in a sense of, like, he knows how to, like, navigate that. Like, where it's not clean punishment, but he takes it. Like, he can block and defend well when people are pouring it on him and come out relatively unscathed. And then he'll come back with big shots that could put you away. Sanhagen, more of the technician, smooth on the feet. He's going to try to piece you up and try to paint this beautiful Picasso on you. We know his grappling isn't the greatest, but he's been implementing wrestling in his game, as we've seen with Song Yadong. This fight is very close for me because they're both tall guys, both like 5'10", 5'11". I'm 5'7". And with that being said, I think the more technical guy in this fight coming in, if like you were watching them skill for skill, who throws a better jab? Who looks better on the pads? Who looks better kicking? Who looks better grappling and just drilling? You're going to say Corey Sanhagen has the entire package. Cardio, conditioning, both these guys like to run, especially Cheeto because he talks about it all the time.
13 miles,
which is just crazy. Whatever. I don't even run. So that just, whatever. Different strokes, different folks. So going back with that, I'm going to say Cheeto and Sanhagen are relatively close in the cardiovascular department. And we know the fight's not 15 minutes. It's not one round fight. It's who does what they need to do best in the entire package of the fight. Because I hate when people go, oh, there was only 5 more minutes. Bro, but there wasn't.
Who got it done in that time?
In that time frame, yeah. Like what I trained for,
right,
bro.
Right.
Like, stop moving the bar. What are you talking about? Judge what happened in the fight. Like, you can speculate all you want, but that does not matter in this contest.
Right.
25 minutes or less, who's going to be the man coming out of this? And I just feel like Sanhagen has shown more improvement overall. People are going to say Cheeto is the most improved fighter. Who? Yeah, I don't want a participation trophy. Cheeto, I don't think you want a participation trophy. No, you don't want acknowledgement for being most improved. You want acknowledgement for being a badass. That's all people care about. With that being said, you have to look at the body of work that both these guys put together. And Cheeto has shown that he has some vulnerability there. And he is human. He can be touched up. He can be outpaced. You could bank rounds against him. And who banks rounds better than a guy like Corey Sanhagen? You know what I mean? So in this matchup, I think this is Sanhagen's fight to lose. And Cheeto's going to need to hit one of those haymaker home runs, Hail Mary finishes. And he can do that.
Of course, yeah.
But Sanhagen's way more durable than a lot of the past opponents that Cheeto Vera has fought.
Right.
And again, that head kick on Dominic Cruz, that front kick on Frankie Edgar, could send anybody that
probably,
to the gulags.
If he lands one of those, it would probably knock out even Corey.
A lot of people.
Yeah. I mean,
hurt him, stun him, rock him. I'm not saying he gets hit and he drops like a bag of potatoes, but he gets cracked with one of those. That fight's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're on skates.
That's like a life-altering kick.
Exactly. You're in the Neptunes. You're in Pluto. You're just in a different space and time. Different time continuum. Like, you're going to need to call the Flash to try to bring you back from, like, to change the trajectory of your life, you know? Like, those are hard strikes. So I give credit where credit's due. Like, I can make all the jokes I want about Cheetos and being so salty, because he is a salty bastard for whatever reason. I don't know why. But at the end of the day, the guy can fight. He's super tough, super durable. And he manages to find a way to find a home to land that kill shot. And it's just whether or not he can do that against a guy who's younger, more durable, and as skilled as a guy like Corey Sandhagen. And I think that's the difference in this fight. Corey has been in those championship fights. Cheeto has not. He's been in five round fights before. He's won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to be the difference going into this. And I like Sandhagen's odds. If I'm looking at this as a better, I'm betting on Corey Sandhagen. I'm not betting on Cheeto to win. But I do know if I'm going to hedge my bet, I'm going to hedge my bet with maybe Cheeto winning by knockout.
Yeah.
Or not knockout, by TKO.
Sure.
Because I think there's a very big possibility for that.
I want to say this too. People, like, if you look at his last three fights for Cheeto, he's fought guys who are known for either being old and having a worn down chin or just not having the best chin. Like, it doesn't take the most powerful shot to knock them down. So in Cheeto's last fights, like, a lot of the rounds he won, per se, are rounds where he was actually losing 90% of that round, but right at the end of the round, he landed a punch that, for most guys, wouldn't knock them down.
Rob Font,
but also with Pedro, was it? And who did he fight, Pedro or Frankie last?
Frankie Yeager. Okay.
Frankie and like, Dom. Like, Dom would be piecing him up those rounds, like, landing way more strikes, looking way more creative on the feet, like, executing his game plan better. And then one punch that didn't even look that powerful would knock Dom on his ass.
And they have him, like, his eyes rolling back in the back of his head.
Because, and that's just from years of doing this and being hit so many times over just being a striker for that many years. Like,
yeah.
But that's not going to happen to Corey. One punch isn't going to do that to Corey.
And even Dominic Cruz, when I was out there in San Diego, he was just saying, like, he reminded me that, like, he's almost 20 years in the game, bro.
Dom Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, from the WC.
He's an OG.
He is a super OG.
He's an OG.
Like, what do we even, like, how do you even compare that?
Right. So, and then.
This should be his own segment, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to put this out on his own. But, like, I feel like, people have to take that into consideration. Like, Corey Sandhagen is just as fresh as Cheeto. If not more, I think.
What I like about Cheeto, though, his attitude about constantly getting better so that one day he can be a world champion. And when you have an attitude like that, it's super positive. It makes it easier for you to go through the day-to-day grind, even if the fight doesn't go your way. He lost to Jose Aldo, came back, rebuilt himself. He lost to John Lineker, came back, rebuilt himself. John Lineker made him curl up in the fetal position, bro. Like, it was bad. Like, John Lineker is this guy who's like 5 foot. He's like 4'8", and swinging, just swinging haymakers, like, and he terrorized a 5'11" guy in Cheeto Vera. He's not 4'8", but you guys get the point.
Yeah,
he's just so much bigger than him, and he bullied him. But he was young in his career, and then Cheeto was able to come back and battle back and show that even with adversity, he can grow. But he fought a lot of truck drivers. If I fought those truck drivers, I would finish them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, cool. Like, I'm not knocking him. He did what he needed to do. He stayed. He stuck around. And look at him, man. He's one of the pioneers or one of the main famous people coming out of his country in Ecuador. So I respect that wholeheartedly. Like, yeah, I mean, I might be poking fun and having a little fun with it right now. But I respect his mental fortitude and how he's willing to work, battle back, and dig deep. Like, even for me, I lost two in a row. Yeah, split decisions, both fights that a lot of people thought that I arguably won, or at worst were a draw, but I lost.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I lost.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, beat Taquinho Mendez, and went on a tear from there. Lost to Marlon Moraes, got knocked out, rebuilt myself. So I wholeheartedly understand where Marlon Vera is coming from,
yeah,
and I relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
because it's not easy, man. When you
lose, he didn't have an easy path.
Yeah, so when you come up, you think like it's just gonna go up, bro. It's just going up, and then when you hit a bump, you see a lot of guys that kind of fold and they never battle back from that. Mm-hmm. So I respect that. I respect his skills, but let's be honest.
Right, there's that knock on him, right? I think there's like two camps with Chito. It's like one camp thinks he deserves a title shot, and one camp thinks, yo, you've had very impressive performances, but against guys who are older and less durable. And so there's those two camps.
If I'm going to give a title shot between both those guys, I give it to Sanhagen for beating Yadong versus Chito beating Dominick Cruz and Frankie Edgar.
But I'll say this. If Chito does beat Corey,
that's different. That's
then it's way like, different. It's almost undeniable that he should be next over anybody.
They'll even probably over Merab?
Except for Merab. He's obviously, but he won't fight you. He won't fight you. That's so he's.
So I would even say, like, I leave this division, you got Chito versus Merab. Unless
they're probably going to give O'Malley, O'Malley
you
something.
You got O'Malley there right there too. Right. Damn.
So they'll do if you weird. Leave, they're going to give it Chito O'Malley. No, I have zero doubt in my head.
Yeah, they're going to try unless to Henry beats you. Even going back to that, so when you look at Chito in that package, it goes like, and I respect that he's trying to get better in all facets of the sport and the martial arts. But you get taken down by Frankie Edgar and you lose literally 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes of all three rounds, and then you land a big knockout blow at the end. What does a guy like Merab do to you? Yeah. What does a guy like myself do to you once I take you down? Like, you're either finished or you get the crap beat out of you.
Yeah.
Or you get, finished. I was going to say submitted, but.
But that doesn't work against the top five guys in your division.
Yeah.
You've got to have a more aggressive forthcoming strategy than sitting back and waiting for that one punch to land.
Like, he fights Umar, what happens? Like, let's be real here.
He fights, I think,
Ricky Simon, what happens? Let's be real here.
Ricky, and I don't know about Ricky Simon.
This is for both guys. Yo, Ricky's a tough dude,
I know he's
dude,
a
man.
Savage, but it's
and
just hard to
with
say.
Him. He's, yo, anyone who I've ever felt like felt as strong as myself, Ricky Simon is that guy.
Really?
Ricky Simon is that guy.
Interesting.
I'm going to give him his flowers because that is a tough dude. And the fact that Merab, and I'm going to be kind of kicking him a little bit. Merab was kicking his ass. And he got a choke finish that doesn't even make any sense because the time was out of the fight. And somehow they didn't wave the fight off, but somehow when they're announcing the winner, they give him the nod, which made no sense.
No, that's bullshit.
Literally, time expired. Mm-hmm. They didn't call the fight, but somehow at the, whatever.
Yeah. That's
I
ridiculous.
Think he would even say, like, I think if he's any type of man, real man, and I like Ricky, any type of real man, he's going to understand and recognize, like, yeah, man, like, Merab was definitely winning the fight, and I was on my way to losing, and I think based on the criteria of calling a fight, I should not have gotten a nod because you didn't call the fight before the time expired. Mm-hmm. In a wrestling match, you can't call a pin after the match is over. You can't. You don't get a pin at the 7 minute mark or the 6 minute mark in high school or college wrestling.
That makes
wrestling.
No sense. Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But Ricky Simon is a threat. Saeed Nurmagomedov, he's a threat. Umar Nurmagomedov, he's a threat. Merab, he's a threat. Myself.
Like, in my opinion, even Sean O'Malley. Problems. Look how good Sean did against Peter. And I don't think Chito presents nearly the problems that Peter did in that fight to Sean.
Slow starter.
So it looks like, to me, like, even Sean presents a huge problem now to Chito. It's like, stylistically.
I mean, the first fight, he presented a huge problem.
Yeah.
Chito was getting lit up a little bit. And it was only like a 3 minute fight.
But, yeah.
But within those first 2 minutes of the fight, Chito was pretty much getting lit up. And of course, the fight just started. Anything could have happened. Mm-hmm. O'Malley could have gotten tired,
but
in the beginning of the fight, like, let's be honest, Chito was getting lit up.
And you have a guy who has gone through that war with Peter Yan, who's one of the toughest guys in the division, a former champion, and you're coming off fights against, like I said, older, less durable, weathered guys.
And a win's a win. I'm not going to take that
away from
him. Of
course, but it's like, and then you compare it, like, Cheeto's a guy who kind of sits back and waits for his moment. Sean's a guy who's going to come at you and throw a bunch of strikes at you from the get-go.
And style on you.
And he's longer than you and taller than you. And, he's got that experience.
They're relatively even. They're both tall, lanky dudes. But one has physical traits that are a lot more gifted in Sean O'Malley, fast twitch.
Like Sean, quick, I feel like Sean uses agility. His a body as a part of his style. Where he,
no,
like,
he does. But that's right, what I'm saying. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel that same way about Cheeto, but again,
why I respect Cheeto, because he's not the most physically gifted. Mm-hmm. He almost reminds me of Brandon Moreno. He's not the most physically gifted guy, but he works hard. He puts the time in, and he fights to his strengths. And look at him, world champion. So I'm not saying Cheeto could never be a world champion. I'm just saying definitely. That's a tall order with a guy like myself, Marab, Umar, Saeed Nurmagomedov, Ricky Simone. Like, these are tough guys for him to beat. If it's a striker, he can maybe eventually get them. But if guys are going to put him down the same way Jose Aldo did, take his back, keep him there and neutralize him, what are you going to do?
If you and Marab are window? Still fighting, I don't see any way
he could be
a champion.
Yeah. Unless I were to lose to like a Henry or a Sean.
But then there's still Marab.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it has to be like the perfect storm. But if I fight Cheeto, like, I'm betting on me and I'm betting my mortgage every single time. Yeah. Because I think for him to win, he needs to land a kill shot. And I'm not saying it can't happen.
I mean, but his kicks are fucking amazing.
No, they're good. That's his superpower.
He snipes with those things and just kills people. But going back to Corey Sandhagen, he's an assassin, and he's like one of the best strikers in the world.
And he strategically will pick you apart.
And I don't think you could say Cheeto's one of the best strikers in the world. He's got a lot of shit.
He's dangerous, though.
But he's not one of the best, most technical, like, developed strikers like Corey is. So it's a sick matchup, though.
I agree with that. But yeah, I'm leaning towards Corey Sandhagen in that fight. This division is one of the best. I know people were kind of giving me shit on Twitter, like, you want to vacate the belt, acting as if you did a lot. You guys read a headline and didn't actually listen to the interview. I know there's always going to be contenders. Always. There's always going to be the younger, hungrier guy coming in. My age only goes up.
Right.
But all the guys I fought have been ranked outside of three guys. So on my way up to fighting for the belt, I fought nothing but ranked guys. Brett Johns, undefeated. Cody Stamen, undefeated in the UFC. Pedro Jimmy Rivera, who I think he was undefeated in the UFC as well. I think he might have lost one. He lost to Marlon Moraes. That's the only one he lost. And then, so that was a common opponent for us. Then I beat Pedro Munhoz, who had some ups and downs. He lost to Rafael Sunsal, came back, finished Rob Font. Like, no one talks about his wins and how dangerous he was. Knocked out Cody Garbrandt, who just beat Dominic Cruz while he was younger. This was 2016. So a 2016 Dominic Cruz getting knocked out by Cody, styled on by Cody Garbrandt, then he only loses to TJ. And then you go on, I beat Sandhagen, who's supposed to be Moses walking on water. I finish him in under 2 minutes. And then
you beat everybody in the generation before you to get there?
Yeah.
And now all the contenders in your generation that came up with you, you've basically beat them all.
Exactly.
And then Henry's kind of a flashback because he was kind of the generation before you.
And that's why it's a nice matchup.
Because Cheeto is the only
around the same time.
Right. So if, let's say, Cheeto wins,
Cheeto came around the same time I did, though. He came around, I think, 2013.
Right. But he would be the only guy in your generation. But I don't think he's going to win. So it kind of like, if he loses, then that eliminates a contender.
Yeah.
And then the only guy left is O'Malley if you beat Henry.
I haven't fought contenders, people are saying.
There's
so many contenders.
So then it's like, you don't, then it's like Aljo. So Aljo's cleared out the whole generation that was ahead of him when he came up. And then the whole generation who's contending when he's champion. And then it's like, now you want him to go fight the new guys when everybody's known for years that his best friend and training partner deserves a title shot too.
Yeah.
But they won't fight. So Aljo's going to step aside for him. And then watch Marab clear out all those guys.
But he has already.
Yeah.
As well.
No, I'm saying the new guys.
Yeah. But so it's just like, it's just this weird catch 22. Is like, you want to run away. I'm like, I'm not running away. But you guys can keep doing this after every single fight and keep saying, well, no, this guy. Well, no, this guy. So that's never going to change. But it's like, are you going to give me my flowers for beating the guys that you said were going to win? And then when I do win, do I get respect for that?
Just let it.
No, trust me, I don't give a shit.
Right.
But I just want people to understand what they're saying. It doesn't make sense.
No,
because
it doesn't.
You're going to keep moving the goalposts and trying to make me look like I'm running away from contenders. I'm like, dude, what else do you want me to do? I should have fought for the belt against Corey Sandhagen for the vacant title. I did not. We were the two highest ranked guys in the division. That should have been for a world title. But Jose Aldo, coming off of a loss, gets to fight Piotr Jan after knocking out Uriah Faber. What are we even talking about?
Nah, I know.
But no one gives him grief and talks shit to him the way they've been talking shit to me. You know? So it's like weird. It's like, tell me you want me to lose without saying you don't want me to lose. Like, make it about the contenders versus you just really just want me to lose.
Right.
So I'd rather you say that, because then it's an honest conversation. But if you're not going to say that, it's like, dude, you make no sense. You're literally just finding any type of thing to kind of go around to try to discredit me. And that's not right. That's the only thing that I find about the fans that's not cool and I don't like.
Trying to discredit you.
It's just like, you're trying to discredit me any way that you possibly can, even though, like, I know you're wrong. You know you're wrong, but you're sticking by your gun so hard just because you just want to just stick it to me, or you just want to see me lose.
You should post your Tapology of your last, like, 12 fights.
Just with a ranking next to their name.
Yeah, and just post it and be like, this is what I've done in this fucking league. And just let it sit.
And then compare that to Cheeto. Compare that to Sean O'Malley, who's fought nothing but truck drivers. Compare that to
how many guys
else
on Sean's resume are in the UFC?
Like zero.
Like literally, I think one in
Pedro,
his last five fights.
And that one don't even count because it was a no contest. Who else has he fought?
And
that's
Pedro's
in the UFC?
On his way out.
I'm not going to say he's on his way out.
Give it 2 years. Give it a year and a half. I don't think Pedro's even fighting anymore.
We made our debut around the same time, and he's older than me. So the fact that he's older than me, we made our debut at the same fight event, same card, UFC 170, and he's been around for this long.
That's impressive.
It's very, very impressive.
Pedro's a legend.
And he's beat a lot of ranked guys. Yeah. He beat former champions. He knocked out Cody Garbrandt, bro.
I'm not discrediting Pedro.
No, no,
at
I know
all.
You're not. I'm just saying, like, yeah. So people have to put respect on some of these wins that I've gotten. It's not like I just beat Joe Schmo. And
you, who supposedly has no striking, outstruck Pedro for 3 straight rounds.
And Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah. So it's like,
so it is what it is. Like, it's either the people going to come around and recognize, like, oh, maybe this guy is actually better than what we said, or you're just going to keep looking at the first Jan fight and be like, oh, he's an actor. I mean, it's like, if that's what you want to do, it's like, okay, I can't change that.
But I think you're still in the spotlight. These next two fights, you know, when you win, I think it's going to be, the narrative will definitely change. Because
like they want me to stay around till I'm 40 years
If you beat TJ and he didn't have the arm, it would be a completely different narrative right now.
But that is so stupid.
But it's just, it was easy to latch on again. I know it's stupid, but I'm just saying, like, it's not your fault. It's just your bad luck.
I had a partially torn bicep tendon when I fought TJ. I had a partially torn bicep tendon when I fought Piotr Jan. Two guys that were supposed to school me. They have their own injuries. I beat those guys. I fought 7 professional fights with a torn labrum, completely torn labrum.
Uh-huh.
I won those fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then it's like, you can't do both. You can't go, if it wasn't torn, you fought a one-arm guy. Well, which one is it? Which one is it? If he's sparring and he's beating up Juan Archuleta, he's beating up all these other guys, he's sparring with Cub Swanson, and he's having good rounds, why is it that now that I beat him, it's a problem? It's like, well, if he kicked my ass with one arm or one good, really, really good arm, then it's like, oh, I knocked out Cody Garbrandt, so Aljo's striking, I figured this was a great matchup for me because his striking was very rudimentary and I knew I could school him. But then you don't, bro. But then you don't. Even in the striking department, you don't. You could say, oh, but you took him down within the first 30 seconds. Okay, cool. That's fair. But even before that, what did TJ do that was so glaringly like, oh, there's a big gap deficit between the striking where TJ was clearly the man. We didn't see that when we fought in October 22nd.
Yeah, and people just assume. It's like saying Khabib can't strike, but like, what evidence of that do we really have? He was just so good at what he wanted to be doing.
Exactly.
And then the moments he did strike, you remember his striking.
Yeah.
Like when he knocked down Connor, you remember that shit. It's like the same for you, like when you fought Pedro. People remember that shit. I mean, kind of. The people who watched it do.
The people who watch it. But it is what it is, man. Like I said, I really don't care. People are going to say, oh, you do care because you're talking about it. I'm like, yeah, we're obviously having a conversation. But if you tuned into me after the first Jan fight, you're going to feel the way you feel. And I understand it. I want the fans to understand that. I understand that. But if you go and do your homework, you're going to be, I think your opinion changes dramatically. And that's it. That's all I got to say about that. If you watch the only the Jan fight, I understand your stance on me. You go and watch my other fights previously and do your homework, I guarantee your stance changes. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Well, and we even saw on Twitter today, I sent it to you, like, some dude was showing a highlight of your fight with Pedro, and he was like, Aljo's so cool. And then if you see the comments, people are like, Aljo's the least cool guy. But this one guy was defending you like, nah, look at all his fights. This guy's dope as fuck.
But that's a real fan that watches all the fights.
But that, me seeing that tweet was like, oh, okay, I think people, this narrative is starting to change at least.
It is what it is. Like, even if I were to lose to Henry, I always play devil's advocate. Like, I have nothing to hang my head about. I know I put in the work, and if the better man wins, the better man wins. At the end of the day, it comes down to what have we both done and accomplished. Like, losing to Henry doesn't, I feel personally, doesn't change anything about my career. Henry loses to me, I feel it doesn't do anything to change his career either. You got two of the best guys, talking stats-wise, mm-hmm. what we have both accomplished in this sport. It's, there's no one loses in this fight. No. Especially if it's a very competitive and high-level fight, which I think it will be. If one of us gets steamrolled, that's different. But I think if it's a very competitive fight, which I think it will be, I think that changes. Like, there's no way anyone could discredit either one of us because we're two of the best guys who have ever done it and stepped foot in the octagon at 135 and even for him, 125 and 135.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, what? There's nothing to take away. Because for him, it's like he's coming off the couch. If he loses, okay. But then for you, it's like you're fighting this Olympic gold medalist, multi-weight class champion. If you lose, it's like, okay, can't really say much because
yeah.
you fought one of the best guys there is.
Yeah, one of the best athletes ever.
To ever combat lace up sports. Their shoes. People, yeah. people argue that Henry's the best combat sports athlete of all time.
I would argue that too.
Like, so
based on what he's accomplished.
Yeah, like in multiple sports, he's become the top cream. To become the cream of the crop in anything in the world is hard, let alone sports, where there's this, like, where everybody wants that type of achievement. You know, everyone, if anybody would trade their job to be a top level athlete, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's that competitive. And then to do it in two different domains is like, obviously, yeah. you can't, that's really impressive.
The only thing that's going to annoy me is when I actually do beat him and finish him, that people are going to try to now shift and go, well, you fought someone who was out of the game for almost 3 years. And that's like, that's the most annoying part. It's just like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You don't fight Henry. You're trying to fight Amala. You want the easier fight. I fight Henry. I beat Henry. Oh, you fought a guy coming off the couch. There's no winning. And that's why it's like, yo, the
wins. And then when you beat O'Malley, it's going to be like, ah, no one thought he was going to beat O'Malley. Or no one thought O'Malley could beat him. It's obviously a mismatch for O'Malley. It's like, okay.
It's so dumb. But he beat the number one contender. Bro, who people keep thinking could
bank beat account
going up on a Tuesday. Yeah,
fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Like, I'm fighting for legacy. I'm fighting for financial gain and for opportunities that come with winning. And at the end of the day, people like winners no matter how you want to. Like, you can have a crazy fight, war. People don't give a shit. They mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they want to attach themselves to the guys that have right. won. And that's the way in the world that we actually live in. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I respect all fighters that step in there. Like, you're a UFC fighter. You're a UFC fighter in my book, no matter what, to the end of times. Obviously, there's going to be some better than others. But I know to get to the UFC, it's not easy. Even though some people have had a little bit more of a handout and an easier path to get there. But once you get there, if you even get one win, that's something to pat yourself on the back about. Because at the end of the day, the 1% of the 1%, and then you have the 1% of that 1% who can actually become a champion. And then that 1% of the 1% of those champions who can actually become some of the greatest of all time athletes.
But like, if you get to the UFC and you go 0-3, you're kicking 99.9% of people's asses in the entire world.
Yeah.
That's how
usually. There's some guys that really don't belong there. But
yeah, but like, you know, there's a guy who I'm thinking of right now who went 0-3. And he got cut. But I'm like, that guy kicks most people's asses.
Yeah.
Like, the vast, there's a very few people who in the world could beat him up. Like, it's that type of thing. Like, that's how good you are at the sport.
Yeah.
And it's like, just to even get a win or have a career, like, have a 9-year career.
Fights, bro. I won 14 UFC fighters. I've made that walk 17 times.
It's a hard thing.
And people, you want to discredit me? Bro. You know what's weird? I would tell people a story. When I made my UFC debut, I remember watching Sarah McMahon. I remember watching Daniel Cormier in the back room warming up, losing weight on fight week, trying to cut weight, get ready for the weigh-ins.
Wow.
And I was just in awe, like watching these guys, like, these are the mofos that I watch on TV right here in front of me doing it. And then they're watching me work out and warm up and cut weight, watching me hit pads with Ray, watching me grapple with my brother Troy. And that, man, it stuck with me. Never, ever forget that moment, those moments. And I remember how miserable DC was making 205. He was not happy. He fought Pat Cummins that day. Short notice fight. Pat Cummins wrestled him. He said he made DC cry in the wrestling room. And DC could not wait to get his hands on this guy. Beat the crap out of him. Much deserved.
DC did.
DC yeah. did. And now, I remember going into the Marlon Moraes fight. I'm in the back room. I'm cutting weight, getting ready. And I'm noticing people watching me. And I'm like, oh, shit, you're the veteran now. You're who people are, like, looking up to see how you do things. I'm watching these guys, how they did things, not realizing how many fights I now had in the UFC. And I'm like, oh, people care about what I'm doing now. I'm that guy now. I'm in that position. I've had almost 10 fights at that point in the UFC company. So now I get it. I'm like, oh, so this is how it works, man. Like, you see people, and then eventually you become the guy, and now people are tuned in and locked into you as athletes, admiring other athletes and seeing how they do and seeing if they're doing the right things and what they could do better. And that's what it's all about, you know? So that's my story.
A lot of people don't get to have that. Like,
yeah. So even now, like, I go through fight week and people get to watch me work out. Like, even in Abu Dhabi, like, a lot of these guys are watching me work out. They're seeing what I'm doing. Like, oh, this is a guy who's supposed to be the champ. He's fighting TJ. Oh, he's fighting Jan. Let's see how he's doing things.
And even, like legends are in the same room as you. And they're watching. Like, Khabib yeah. was in the room with you.
Yeah.
And his whole team was kind of, like, keeping tabs on you, too. Because yeah. Islam was cutting weight, too. It's like.
And they were watching me, how I was grappling with Marab, my transitions.
Like,
and
you
like,
know,
yo.
Talking to each other, pointing at you, like, that type of thing. I'm like.
Yeah,
that's
and
crazy.
It's cool because I know Khabib is smart and he's watching. He's like, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows how to grapple, which he has said himself.
On Anatomy of a Fighter, he
yeah,
said that.
He's yeah. like, this guy is very good with his grappling. He's very strong in this position. And that only comes from a guy who actually done their homework. So I know those guys respect me and they know I'm a dangerous matchup no matter who or what Nurmagomedov I'm fighting, you know? So that gives me confidence in what I'm doing and the preparation I'm doing and my skill set and my abilities. But yeah, now I'm the vet. And now I'm the one that people are looking up to and watching for tips and all kinds of things like that. So it's cool. But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is wins and losses. They could be ugly wins. They could be dominant wins. But in the record books, they're only going to show. They're not going to have like a asterisk next to it. Like, this was a very dominant performance. It's not going to say that. It's just going to say he won. You know, the people who are going to be able to tell our stories from time on, like, that's going to be cool. And I hope to have those stories, like, when people are 40, 60, 70 years old, like, oh, yeah, I remember watching that Sterling fella. Like, I want to have moments like that. And I think my Pedro Munoz fight was a moment like that. I think the Stamen fight was a moment like that. I think coming back from the adversity and winning after a 13-month layoff and winning over Jan after all the cards were stacked against me, that's a moment like that. Mm-hmm. Like, those are pivotal moments where people are going to be like, yeah, this guy had no shot and had no business winning this fight. But he came out, did the damn thing, didn't care what nobody said, and he got it done. And that's why I do this, man, for the glory of the sport. Of course, money is cool. But at the end of the day, I didn't get into this for the money. I got into this because I love to compete. The money is the icing on the cake. And now I'm getting older. I'm like, I want to make as much of that as I can, but I still want to keep adding to my legacy. Henry Cejudo is that guy, and that's why I can't wait to fight him whenever we fight in May, if the UFC makes it official, and get it done. Even if my bicep doesn't heal to 100%, we're going to do the fight. We're going to see whatever happens. And I'm not going to tell people beforehand. Like, people are going to ask me, how's the bicep? And I'm just going to be like, no, the bicep is great, whatever it is. And even if it is really great, you're not going to know, you know? And I'm not going to make an excuse afterwards and say the bicep wasn't 100%. The better man is going to fight and win that night.
Right.
And that's all it comes down to. I'm not going to make excuses because I've been injured before. I fought injured before. And at the end of the day, it's either I'm going to get the surgery or I'm not going to get the surgery and try to get to as close to 100%. Or I'm going to go out there and put it on the line. This place, this time, and am I the better guy at this moment in time in life? And that's it.
Mic drop.
And at that point, we're at 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Fuck.
So thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you like this shit, subscribe to this shit, spin it. Bang. Fish.
Let's go get more drunk.
Peace.